Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 16 and go through verse 10 of chapter 5. Paul is in the midst of a section talking to us about the new covenant that we have with Jesus Christ and all of the ramifications of that new covenant. And he picks up in verse 16 and he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, if while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore also, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Have you ever wondered, why is it when I get one part of my life finally together, another part falls apart? Is it true that somewhere deep within us we want to get our lives all together? There's going to come a time when it finally all clicks. Then is it reasonable to say that down deep inside underneath we long for a life that is smoothed out, for a life that has no problems, for a life that finally has arrived? We want everything to work out for our lives. We want to look right. We want to do the right thing. And I was thinking about this even yesterday when I was getting dressed to go to a meeting, and I got to thinking about what I need to wear for this meeting. And I came out and I told Harriet, I said, "Harriet, you know, I need to look casually nice but sloppy." I said, did I do it right? And she said, "No." But isn't it funny? We want to look right even when we're sloppy. I mean, we want it to be right. We have this drive that we try to get our careers to be right, to do the right thing in our careers, and we work real hard at that, and then our home life falls apart. So we realize, wow, we're spending too much time at work. We've got to spend some more time at home, some more time with the kids. And so we start trying to spend more time at home and get all that stuff straightened out. And then we realize the next time we try to play golf or tennis, we've forgotten how to do it. And then we work on trying to get our golf game or our tennis game back up. And somehow or another, the body just doesn't want to perform. And we pull a muscle, we strain a back, we go skiing and mess up our knee. And I mean, somehow or another, life just won't cooperate. I think about the young college student that told me not long ago, he said, you know, I was trying to study real hard and make my grades and have the kind of grades that I needed to have. And then I realized my date life was really kind of shabby, so I was kind of trying to pick my date life up a little bit. And he said, you know, I started picking my date life up a little bit. And he said, then, you know, my spiritual life starts going down the tube. So I sort of realized I've got to work on my spiritual life and start reading my Bible. And somebody else says, no, you need to pray a lot more than you're doing. And I start trying to pray more, read my Bible more. He said, when am I ever going to get it all together? Do you ever feel that way? We try so hard to make our lives right. We try so hard to do the right thing, to make our lives come all together. Let me read you a short little episode that Chuck Swindoll shares with us in a book entitled Home, Where Life Makes Up Its Mind. It has a little chapter that he calls Tough Days. He says, tough days, we all have them. Some are worse than others, like the one that the hard-hat employee reported when he tried to be helpful. Maybe you heard about it too. The account actually appeared in a company accident form. Bruised and bandaged, the workman related this experience. He said, when I got to the building, I found that the hurricane had knocked off some bricks from around the top of the building. So I rigged up a beam with a pulley at the top of the building, and I hoisted up a couple of barrels full of bricks. When I'd fixed the damaged area, there were a lot of bricks left over. So I went to the bottom and began releasing the line. Unfortunately, the barrel of bricks was much heavier than I was. Before I knew what was happening, the barrel started coming down, jerking me up. I decided to hang on since I was too far off the ground by then to jump. And halfway up, I met the barrel coming down fast. I received a hard blow to my shoulder. And then I continued to the top, banging my head against the beam and getting my fingers pinched and jammed in the pulley. When the barrel hit the ground hard, it burst its bottom, allowing the bricks to spill out. Now I was heavier than the barrel. So I started down again at high speed. Halfway down, I'm at the barrel. Coming up fast, received injuries to my shins. When I hit the ground, I landed on the pile of spilled bricks, getting several painful cuts and deep bruises. At this point, I must have lost my presence of mind because I let go of my grip on the line. And the barrel came down fast, giving me another blow to my head and putting me in the hospital. I respectfully request sick leave. We all laugh because we've had days like that, haven't we? Not only did the roof cave in, but the bottom fell out at the same time. But you know, in reality, we also do not laugh because life surfaces problems as we live it, and we begin to have some real wonderings and doubts in our minds about where all of this life is going. We have problems that create real pains for us. Some of them, some deep, lasting emotional pain. And some of them, physical pain that doesn't go away. And life presents some very difficult things for us, very painful things. But somehow or another, still in the midst of all of that, there is still this effort within us that someday we're going to get it all together. That someday it's going to come together, it's going to click for us. We're going to get past these things, and we're going to finally get there. We believe, you might say, in a false impression, that God expects of us a maturity level that says that we're finally gonna make it like the great men and women of the faith. And we're gonna get to that place where we have that wisdom that when we make decisions, that they're always the right decisions. And when we try to find solutions to our problems, we just come up with the right solutions. That somehow or another we're going to get to that place that when our kids ask us questions, we're just going to know the answers, the right answers. And we've got answers to the problems that they come and they bring to us. And we're going to have this deep satisfaction that what we say is, you know, exactly right. We're going to achieve this place, so to speak, with God, that we know that God is going to help us understand what all of our problems are about and that He's going to solve it for us. And we feel so guilty because we aren't there yet. But we keep moving, hoping that it's going to happen. And yet, however, when we get one part of our life together, it seems that life throws us another curve and another part of it falls apart. In some cases, we might even really manage our lives quite well. But what happens is oftentimes we shut out the pain of a fallen world. And we try to just live in a narrow area so that maybe we can at least be perfect or mature right there. Failing to realize what we're doing when we're shutting people out of those narrow parts of our lives. But down deep inside, there's that nagging feeling. We just don't have it right. It's not all together. Paul gives us a perspective. In this passage of Scripture, he gives us three principles. How do we look at life that doesn't come together? How do we look at life that is a continual struggle? How do we view what's going on internally, even if externally we've made it look pretty good, but we're still struggling down inside? He gives us three principles, and then he gives us two action steps that we can take. Let's take a look and see what our passage has to say to us. First of all, Paul says, do not lose heart because your outer man is decaying. I want you to understand something Paul is saying here. He doesn't flesh it all out at this point. He does in other passages. But what he is saying here is this. I want you to understand, you aren't going to get it all together in this life. The outer man is decaying, even physically, but your outer life is decaying. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that sin entered, and we don't have the slightest idea how much sin has interrupted what was originally meant to be. That even the creation, we're told in Romans, groans to be released from the burden of sin.
That even creation around us is not really able to be all that it was intended to be. And the beauty of springtime trees and flowers that we see are only a glimpse of what they really were intended to be. And we live in a fallen world, a world that affects our bodies.
We have a fallen nature. And even though we have trusted Christ as our Savior, if you've done that, and when that happens, there's a transaction that occurs with God that is unseen to us, and the Spirit, the person of God in the Holy Spirit, actually comes and takes up dwelling within us. And even though that is there, there is still the old nature that is still there. And it is not getting any better. You see, God didn't come to rejuvenate the old nature. He came to give us a new nature. But we still live with an old nature. But what we need to see in this fallen world that still affects us, that complicates things, that throws us curves, that really doesn't allow us to get it all together, that God wants us to understand that He understands that. That God views us in light of what He's done in Jesus Christ for us, but He views us as still being under the effects of the fall. That God is not expecting us to have it all together. God doesn't demand us to have it all together. But instead, it is acceptable to Him to not always have the right answer. It's acceptable to Him to not always make the best decision. It's all right with Him if you don't have your family in perfect running order. He understands that. And He's not asking you for perfection. Now, is that an excuse to not do well? No, no. It's not that He's not wanting us to do our best. But He wants us to understand that by His grace, we need to be relieved of the pressure to having to perform for Him in order to be accepted by Him. There is no performance that you can do now to make yourself more acceptable to God, because He made you totally acceptable by what He did on the cross and Jesus' substitutionary death. Atonement for us. And it's not an excuse, but it's to alleviate that pain. And we need to understand that God has greater purposes in mind. And this is what He goes on to say. He goes on to say, because our inner man is being renewed day by day. You see, God is more concerned with our inner life than He is with our outer life. And we need to understand that God has those greater purposes for us. And the first principle that He's giving us here is this, that we need to realize that our outer life will fade away, but that our soul can continue to grow. That's what He's saying to us. Does it ever dawn on us that our purpose here on life is not to get all of our problems solved? Did it ever dawn on you that God doesn't necessarily plan to solve all of your problems on this earth? But what He's more interested in is how you respond to Him in the midst of your problems. Because there's a work that He wants to do in your life. And do you continue to come toward Him and move toward Him? But sometimes we need to see that there are things that are more important than the alleviation of all of our pain and all of our problems. God has greater purposes for what He is doing. And if that were not true, Jesus Christ would not have gone to the cross. Because you see, He didn't deserve the cross. He didn't do anything to deserve the cross. He didn't have to experience all of that pain. That was a choice. It was a choice for us because there was a greater purpose behind it. So we have to realize that our life isn't going to all come together. But there's something God is doing inside of us on a daily basis. Now, the second point that he makes, Paul goes on to say that we do have afflictions. We do have trials. They are real. But they are nothing in comparison to what he is doing. Notice what he says. He says, for momentary light affliction. Now, he's not making light of the affliction. But the reason he can say it's light and it's momentary is what the comparison is, because he said it's producing for us an eternal weight or value, something that is gloriously valuable. And it's momentary in the sense that it's compared to eternity. And that God is doing something. There's a purpose, and He's creating some value in our lives through the things that we struggle with, whether we get them all worked out in this life or not. So our pain is real. But in comparison to what He's doing, it's momentary. The third thing that He tells us in this passage, and then what He says in the first five verses of chapter 5, is this. That even though our earthly tent may die, even though our circumstances don't come together, God is doing something and preparing something for us in heaven. And in fact, already has. He's prepared something that's going to be even greater than what we're experiencing right here. Even in a physical sense, and he's using this, he says, it's like an earthly tent, our physical body, in comparison to an eternal building, something solid, something permanent. That's what he's preparing for you in heaven. And he says, I want you to understand that I have something greater for you, and I prepared it for you, and it's going to be yours. But he says, I understand that we groan. And twice he talks about the fact that we groan, we long to have that. You see, it's not wrong to long to have it all together. It's not wrong to want things to be right here. Because, you see, that's what we were originally made for. We were made for a world that didn't complicate things. We were made for a world that cooperated with us. We were made for a body that didn't die. We were made to have that full, complete satisfaction on a daily basis, that we really fulfill that day what we were created to be and to do. That's what we were created for. So it's no wonder that we groan, that we want it to be all together. But what we have to realize, we still live in this fallen world, this painful world, this imperfect life. And he says we are being burdened with that. And Paul adds a wonderful statement here that he gives great emphasis to in other parts of the Scripture, and that is, he says, we were prepared for this very purpose by God. And he gave us the pledge of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is with us. He didn't finish it out at that point. Now, you may be saying, well, this is nice. I mean, it's good to know that I don't have to get it all together to please God.
It's good to know that God is creating something of value for me. It's good to know that He's prepared a heavenly home for me. But what do I do in the meantime? What do I do right now? And there are two things that He leaves us with. He says, learn to walk by faith and learn to please God in what you do. You see, I need to walk by faith to believe that He does work in my life, that He is renewing, that He will do things to meet my needs as I go along. And there will be times in our lives when we will get that glimpse and that taste that it has kind of come together, even though it might not last. And we will see some beautiful things in the lives of people, in the lives of our family, in the lives of those that we love, and in the work that we do, and in our church. But they're just glimpses of that which is to come. But by faith, we need to be willing to still move toward God when our work is still severely hampered. We're still struggling to keep our businesses afloat. That we can still move toward God when our teenagers are giving us major problems. We don't understand what's going on in their lives. We can still move toward God when sometimes our spouses really disappoint us and just don't come through. But we move toward God without demanding that He fix it, but trust Him in the midst of it, even if it doesn't really work out. That's a walking by faith. And secondly, we please Him. Our aim, notice how He says it, make it your ambition to please Him. What is maturity? Maturity in a Christian life, in one context, is being faced with the disappointments of life and yet still moving toward God and others with love. You see, the great commandment is to love God and to love others. And even though this life doesn't work out, even though I have some real disappointments with my mate, what will please God? By moving toward them with love. Even though my teenagers may be acting in ways that are embarrassing, but I still move toward them in love. Sometimes we have to use tough love. Or my work, I'm disappointed at work and what I'm trying to accomplish, but I still move into my realm and do that which would honor God. See, that's what maturity is all about. Now, what can we take home from this? I think three things, just in summary. First of all, take the pressure off of yourself to have to do it all just right. That isn't what God is asking you. That's not an excuse to do your best. But take the pressure off of yourself. God's not expecting you to get it perfect in this life. Secondly, realize that your groanings come because God intended us originally to get it all together here. But that in the midst of finding out that it isn't going to come all together here, there's still a great hope it is all going to be together one day. And He is still working on us in our lives. And thirdly, to walk by faith in the midst of your struggles, your pains, your disappointments, your dangling relationships that don't seem to all come together like you'd like them to, and seek to please Him by the way you move toward others in love, because you see, that's what pleases Him. Let's pray together. Father, You have a wonderful work in our lives. And Father, thank You that You're not finished with us yet. Thank You, Father,
for that great and mighty work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability to please you in our walk of faith, when sometimes it still doesn't seem like we're doing everything exactly right. But you love us, and you fulfill your perfect will through our bumblings and our stumblings, because you understand us. We thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.